how do queer festivals stay relevant and on point with our ever-changing LGBTI narrative? We called on Karen Bryant, CEO of Midsummer, and Therese Cashew, CEO of Sydney Mardi Gras, to give us a taste of what's coming for both festivals and discuss the issues of programming for our diverse community. Let's hear from Mardi Gras' Karen Bryant first.
Well, I guess for me, it's I guess a little easier in that I've been working in festivals in a broader sense for over 20 years. So, you know, the notion of festivals as celebrations, but also profile of extraordinary talents as opportunities for people to just to come together is something that's very familiar to me. Obviously, in our communities, as you say, you know, in the same way Pride March or Pride Marches around the world were very much about protest. That I think that there's been that evolution where there still certainly is elements of that in festivals and marches, but it's a broader need that communities have now to come together. The whole issue of being able to, for some people, to get out of social isolation, but also very much to showcase our stories, individual stories, issues that people are still facing, and showcase the very real talents that people have, whether that's a sporting talent, whether it's a performing talent, a musical and visual arts talent, and festivals play all of those roles for community and very much for all of the individuals that make up those communities.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it is an amazing time for Mardi Gras and 40 years, and we certainly, you know, we take this very seriously and, you know, no pressure at all on us for the 40th to meet community's expectation. But, you know, one of the things we've been doing when we're planning the 40th is to make sure that we look back at our very beginning, so looking at 1978, where we did have a peaceful march that turned protest. And I guess the very beginnings of Mardi Gras was wanting to celebrate on the evening. There was a protest in the morning and the evening was coming out on the streets and celebrating. And Mardi Gras has embraced that all the way through. I suppose, you know, some of the big changes across those 40 years of what we're trying to recognise in our celebrations of being 40, not just the beginning, but what happened in each of those decades. What were the social justice points? What were the actual big topical social and political movements that happened over those 40 years, including, you know, when we look back through the AIDS era, when we look at when lesbians first marched in a formal way on parade, when our Indigenous friends and family stepped onto the tarmac with us, when trans families and rainbow families joined us. So there's been so many amazing moments. That's what we've been doing, is tracking that and looking at celebrating and acknowledging that incredible history. So I guess getting back to your absolute question of, you know, what's changed over that time? Well, lots. I guess a recognition of that we are an incredibly diverse community. Our LGBTQI letters keep growing and they need to, because our community changes, and that's one of the big changes is in diversity.
So in terms of education, how much does education play a part when you're planning a festival?
Education for both...
I guess education for the community, students. Education of history, making sure that all that is included, as well as, you know, people go to the party and have a great time.
Absolutely. And it's so important that we do make sure that we are educating that history, and our education and what we're telling people is from trusted advisors.
As Therese mentioned, queer festivals have a responsibility to showcase our LGBTI history in an engaging way. I asked them how Mardi Gras were planning on doing this on their 40th anniversary.
So this year we've created the 40-year timeline, and we've embraced community and brought all our alumni back in to make sure that our timeline, which is every year's activities of Mardi Gras, in a beautiful digital platform with posters and storytelling and people being interviewed and not just the social changes but also the political changes. So we have a trusted voice there that people can lock into, and also making sure that when we do engage with our community, part of that, and including our queer thinking program, embraces those people that bring the true story, that bring, you know, from the horse's mouth, and working with 78 has been a really important part of that as well, to make sure people do hear those stories and they do hear it from authentic voices.
In terms of the direction of Midsummer in the immediate and near future, Karen fits in on what's planned.
Oh, look, I think, you know, we've certainly tried and avoid the one theme idea because our festival very much is led by the agendas and stories and issues that are raised in our communities that can change on a yearly, a monthly, and sometimes even a daily basis. So in terms of where things are heading, you know, we work very hard to obviously have a look at types of themes that need to be explored. But, you know, those things can change in the blink of an eye. You know, obviously with the historic yes vote recently, there are people who want to celebrate that. There are people who also want to be reflecting beyond that, that there is so much more to achieve beyond yes. And that's a very now thing. And, you know, could we have anticipated that that would have happened exactly in this festival when it's something that's been on the agenda for so many years? Obviously not. But I think, you know, there are some themes that are broader and you can look at over multiple years and issues that, you know, you know, we talk to our trans communities who often say that visibility for them and identity is one of the biggest things that we can bring for them. And that's, you know, that's not necessarily just something that's specific to one festival. And those that visibility and identity is common across all of our communities. So, you know, I think it's a much broader question for me of listening and keeping our eyes open and being responsive, because we don't talk for our communities. We create spaces for them to talk and be listened to.
Therese Cajou from Mardi Gras rounds up the conversation on the future of our queer festivals and fills us in on the Queer Thinking Program featured at next year's Mardi Gras.
It's a beautiful program and something that we hope to keep growing as a Mardi Gras. It's really where we stand back and go, okay, what are the issues of community? What are the social issues and political issues of our time, and what do we need to focus on? And this year, our Queer Thinking program is underwritten by the Bones of Social Justice, and it asks all those big, hard questions of where has social justice actually made an impact across Mardi Gras and across our 40 years? Where hasn't it made an impact? Or what do we still need to do in relation to social justice? And let's have a call to action here. So look at all the things we've done. Look at the way we've paved the opening of history for our community. But let's stand together now, 40 years later, and go, okay, where are we going? What does the future look like? And I guess what are the next battles for us, if battles is the right word? But let's not stand on our laurels here because there's work to be done. Even we have marriage equality, but, you know, we don't have equality for our community. And they're the important discussions and debates that we can bring into queer thinking.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.